Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
So much of the conversation leading up to Game 4, we talked about it. It's low-hanging fruit. Steph Curry not getting the job done, the greatest outside shooter in the history of the NBA, Mr. Moneyball Steph Curry, not so much. Not so much. And in a game where the Rockets did lead the majority of the game, I'm not going to say the Warriors were dominant. They weren't. They were down most of the game. They were only six lead changes. The Rockets led by as many as 17 points. But Golden State came back. You saw the game. They had multiple opportunities in the final seconds with Durant, Steph Curry, Draymond Green missed a layup. They had opportunities to close the margin in the late stages. Now, did they make those shots? No, they did not make those shots. They blew it. They lost the game. Most games are lost. They're not won. They lost the game. And so the final score was 112-108, which means, if my Maller math is correct, that the Western Conference semifinal second round matchup here, Golden State and Houston, after four games, is squared up, two wins apiece. And the Rockets, led by the ball hog, James Harden. Boy, every time I watch the Rockets play, boy, this sucks. I mean, James, dribble, 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 dribble. Let's watch James Harden dribble. That's the Rockets' offense. What is Mike D'Antoni exactly being paid for? Does anyone know? He took 29 shots to get to 38 points. The Warriors did a good job of not sending James Harden to the line. There's the book on the Rockets over the years has been when James Harden takes like 15 attempts at the charity stripe, you're not going to win. He only took 8 foul shots. That's it. Took 17 three-point shots. Only took 12 shots in the two-point range, 17 three-point shots for Harden. He missed 11 of his 17 three-point shots, but is being celebrated by the mainstream basketball media because he had 38 points and the Rockets won the game, and to the victor goes the spoils. That's how it goes. And you look at the Warriors, and it's like, can you say that Steph Curry had a bad game? He had 30 points. Yes, Steph Curry's role on this team is to knock down three-point shots. That is his role. The Rockets, if you talk to the brains there, the nerds that run the Rockets, the geeks and nerds in the front office, they would love to have Steph Curry shoot a bunch of two-point shots. It's wonderful. You're playing right into their hands, right? Now, he did take 14 three-point shots. He missed 10 of them. The greatest three-point shooter in the history of the world shot 28% from three-point range. And the Warriors, as a team, took 33 shots from downtown, and they missed 25 of them. That is atrocious, is what it is. So despite by barely outscoring the Rockets in the second half, the Warriors end up losing the game. So the question here is this. The Maller scale of panic, 1 to 10, with 10 being, oh, my God, we're screwed. We're doomsday prophecies. Doomsday prophecies. Now, for the Warriors, because the better story is in the losing locker room, I'm only at a 3. I'm at a 3, and that's going too high, I think. I'm being too high at 3. But on the Maller scale of concern, Maller scale of panic, I'm at a 3. Now, we've got the deadbeats, the untenable, and the Swiss Army knife. And we will combine all of this together into a nice, wonderful little cake, and we'll see what happens. We'll put some frosting on top, and we'll cook it for about 15, 20 minutes, and we'll see what pops out of the oven. So the first thing, to me, this is uncomplicated. Now, I understand part of the job of the basketball media is to rant and rave like lunatics about, oh, my God, the sky is falling. No, you've got to be prisoners of the moment. I'm not a prisoner of the moment. I'm not. Not that I don't like those antics and the hijinks of being a prisoner of the moment, but on this one, I'm not. And it would make for better radio if I overreacted and did the sky is falling. I've done a lot of that. I have made a career out of being a panic peddler on the radio. Do I think that the Golden State Warriors are in danger of losing this series to the Rockets? No, I don't. Tell me I'm wrong. I don't. Look at this objectively. The Warriors, what's going on, it's very straightforward. It's not splitting an atom or anything like that. The Warriors have players who are not making shots that typically they have made. Steph Curry, three-point shooting, can't make a shot consistently to save his life from three-point range. And Klay, I always get a free pass. Thompson needs to go jump in the Pacific Ocean. The Warriors ought to, on their flight back to the Bay Area, here's my advice to Steve Kerr. Fly over Los Angeles and drop Klay Thompson out of the plane in Santa Monica so he gets into that Pacific Ocean water in these, you know, Southern California area, because then he'll be able to make shots again, right? Then he'll be able to make shots. Klay Thompson, game after game, just hiding in the shadows, bad. And right now, there's no other way to say it. These two guys, the Splash Brothers, are the Brick Brothers, is what they are. They're the bricklayers. They're a bunch of playoff deadbeats at this particular point. Now, if you go by the resume and you say that these guys have a history of being prime performers and elite players in the playoffs, they eventually are going to snap out of it. And it is still games where you look at this and you say, well, the Warriors still had an opportunity in the final seconds to either tie the game or win the game. And so it's that weird give and take, right? This was a helter-skelter situation at the end of this game, much like it was in the previous game. Now, the second thing, I'm not all in on the Houston Rockets. And there's going to be a lot of very encouraging things that are being said about the Rockets because of these last two wins, and that they're going to get in the minds of the Golden State Warriors and all this stuff going on and on and on. I thought the Rockets were the team that I expected. I didn't think they played over the top great. They made a few more three-point shots, but they still missed many more than they took. They shot 34%, Houston did, from three-point range. And Eric Gordon had a terrible game. The fact that the Rockets were able to win, when you talk from an efficiency standpoint, they did not shoot the ball as well as Golden State. They made more three-point shots. They took 50 three-point shots. James Harden, dribble, 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 three-point shot. Occasionally they'll throw it down to Eric Gordon. He'll shoot a three-point shot. But it was not like Houston came out and upstaged Golden State. To me, that's an important part of this. It was not an ambush situation. I mean, you look at these two games in Houston. Saturday, Steph Curry misses a bunny, right? Right there, does he lay up? Was it a slam dunk? Not supposed to miss a bunny. That's a bad job by you. And then in the game on Monday, you had Curry and Kevin Durant, brick, brick. You had Draymond Green with a chip shot layup, and he was unable to get it. So this is the way the Rockets have to win. All right, tell me I'm wrong on this. If this is the way the Rockets have to win, is that a tenable or untenable situation going back to Golden State? Because remember, the reason I'm only at a 3 on the Maller level of concern here, as far as this being doomsday prophecies for the Golden State Warriors, is because they have home court advantage still in this particular series. And I would expect, I think this is going to go 6 games. I think they win the game coming back on Wednesday in Oakland, and then on Friday night they close it out in Houston. End of story. But if it has to go to a Game 7 for ratings purposes on Mother's Day, fine, go to ratings. You can get a big rating on Sunday afternoon. Now, the last word on this. I've done the Maller math here. As I said, you have home court advantage. You have to win 2 more games. And I was told by this old coach back in the day that the series does not start until the team at home loses. So neither team has lost. So therefore, the series hasn't really started. It's just a best of 3, and Golden State can win the games at home, although I believe they will win Game 6 in Houston. But the Warriors, if you look at them like a Swiss Army knife, right, there's something wrong right now with a couple of parts, like the corkscrew, which is Steph Curry, that's not working right, and the tweezers, which is Klay Thompson, little awful. You know, they need to be recalibrated. Take it into the shop, get it repaired. There are some problems. All right, let's hear from some of the key participants. We have Steve Kerr, who did not play a minute. You played as many minutes as Steve Kerr did, but he gets a lot of money to be the coach and the babysitter of the Golden State Warriors. Here is Steve Kerr pointing out he was concerned with the tempo of the Warriors.
I think, you know, force has to be accompanied by poise. And
it
felt like we were in a rush offensively all night. And you know, we're at our best when we got a bunch of playmakers out there and the ball's moving. And
yeah, what he's referring to is tempo. He's referring to the tempo of the Warriors there. Disjointed, but still had a chance to win the game. All right, Kevin Durant, KD, the Slim Reaper. He put up 34 points, took 22 shots to get those 34 points. He had 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and a partridge in a pear tree. Here's Kevin Durant, and he is asked a – well, you talk about a softball question. Essentially, the question is, can you kiss James Harden's ass?
Kevin, you played with Harden for years, and you played against him for years. Is this the best you've seen him be, especially in the situation in the playoffs?
Pathetic question.
The best?
Of the most attacking?
No, I mean, he's been attacking since he was at Artesia High School. Ain't nothing changed but the jersey.
Yeah. What a dumb question. Kevin, can you give some fellatio to Harden, please? A verbal fellatio. Can you do that, please? Yes, thank you. All right. Here's Steph Curry. And here's Curry pointing out what that helter-skelter part at the end of the game where the Warriors kept blowing it, right? I mean, that you can look at the play-by-play, but the last couple of possessions where the Warriors were down by 3, they got Harden to miss a foul shot, and it was on. Harden missed 1 out of 2, and Andre Iguodala, he got the rebound. Warriors called timeout. Durant missed a 3-point shot. It was a long 3-point shot, but wide open. Draymond Green got the rebound. Steph Curry then missed a 3-point shot, a long shot, but wide open. And then the Rockets got the rebound. But two big misses by the stars of the Golden State Warriors. Here's Steph Curry on what happened there.
How did you feel about the two looks? You got at the end of regulation there, KD, and then you on the offensive rebound.
Two solid looks. Considering the situation, down 3 with a chance to tie it up. Just didn't go our way.
Okay. Thank you. Sounds like it was cut off a little bit, though. It seems odd that it was the timing. All right, here's more from Stephen Curry and the issue of the pressure. Where is the pendulum of pressure, Mr. Curry?
We love it. I mean, obviously, we would love to be, you know, up 3-0 or have 3-1 or have the series, you know, over, but there's no panic. I know we say that a lot, but it's really just we're together and we understand what the task at hand is. And very similar to last series where whatever the expectations were going in, you kind of just roll with the punches and just get the job done any way that you can.
Just roll with the punches. Yeah. Not concerned about anything. The sky is – it's like Leslie Nielsen in The Naked Gun, right? There's nothing to see here. Move along. Disperse. Move along. all right, well, you know the noise is going to get cranked up. That's how this works here, and it's going to be the Warriors are screwed. They're in trouble. Life is falling apart for the Golden State Warriors now for the next day or so. That's how the NBA media is going to handle this, and they're going to celebrate the Rockets. They finally got the cheat code to the Warriors. Here's Steph Curry on all the noise that has happened and likely will continue.
Last 48 hours has been pretty funny, and hearing all the noise and chatter about you know, how I've been playing in this series, and you know, I take it all in stride and understand what I'm capable of, doing it within the context of, you know, of how we play as a team, and I know I can play even better. So just trying to stay within my own zone in terms of, you know, what I expect from myself out there on the floor. And
garbage.
Dress it up a little bit, Steph. I'm going to fall asleep here. I mean, it's an overnight show. What's wrong with you? Can I encourage you to have a little more gusto in your responses? Would that be good? I mean, no? All right, so the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold, Garcia. right over there.
Thank you very much, Ben Maller.
Yes, thank you, Eddie. And tonight, this night is different than all other nights, Eddie. And
it is? I didn't know that.
Yes. I have worked in this building for probably 20 years, almost 20 years coming up, with the exception of 6 months and 26 days.
Yep.
Worst programming
decision.
I've been
there for most of it as well.
Worst programming decision ever made by Fox Sports Radio. But anyway, so tonight, Eddie, I always look up to my left. I look up to monitor the clock, because I am on time Maller, by the clock, for the clock, plausibly all about the clock. So I look up at the clock and I see a TV. So I'm like, okay, I got to move the TV. It's covering up the clock. So I go over to move the TV and then I notice, wait a minute, my vision, I'm looking off the side of my peripheral vision off to the right. My God, they've moved the clock in the studio, Eddie. Now, this might not matter to you if you don't work in the magic radio box, but for someone that has kind of muscle memory reference to, if I need to look at the clock, I know I look up to the heavens on the left side of the magic radio box, but now I got to look up to the other side. This is going to throw off my biorhythms, Eddie. I'm going to be very late with the clock. I'm concerned. It's going to take me a little while. It's not going to be the normal smoke show that we have on the radio. It's going to take a little time for me to get back to that dreamy level of radio. Yep. I'm telling you, I'm concerned about this. They moved the clock. They didn't consult me. I was telling Teicher, I told Teicher the vegan, I said, they got to consult me. I've been here too long. They got to let me know.
So who's to blame for this, do you think?
I blame Teicher. He was the engineer, so I blame him.
No, it wasn't him.
He's the only one awake right now, so I'll blame him. Yeah, everyone.
This is kind of like, if you're in your home stadium as a football player and you're the quarterback and you know where the play clock is all the time and they move the play clock.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
I cannot emphasize enough how this is going to affect the quality of programming here on the Fox Sports Radio Network.
And well, let's be clear, though. You have shown a knack for being able to adjust to, rotting food in the garbage can, broken microphones,
all that is accurate.
Copy machine doesn't work.
Look at you pumping me up, Eddie. Look at that. Keep going.
You're someone who knows how to deal with adversity. Yeah. I believe so.
I have an awakening when I have adversity, Eddie. So look at that. Tick, 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 tick. Look at that clock. Tick, tick. Now it's more in my line of sight now, because now I'm turned my body. So now I'm just staring at the seconds. The sands of time go by as we talk on the radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So there was a great amount of optimism around the Celtics because they were at home. And they had Marcus Smart, who had not played in the playoffs. He was made available. Marcus Smart out with this oblique injury, and he was back. And the Celtics were going to square up the Milwaukee Bucks, two wins apiece. It was going to happen Monday. The early game, back in action, defensive stalwart Marcus Smart, key, the glue guy. That's the cliche. You learn that in sportscasting class, the glue guy, Marcus Smart for the Celtics. How did that work out? Did Marcus Smart play? Yes. He absolutely did play. Did it matter in the outcome of the game? No, it did not matter in the outcome of the game, as Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's the headliner. He's above the marquee. When you're above the marquee, you're the A number one choice of the people. And he was putting up the monster stats. 39 points. If you saw the game, it was a close game for about a half. Actually, about a half and a couple extra minutes. Say roughly 30 minutes or so, and then the roof caved in, which was not because of Giannis Antetokounmpo. More on that in a minute. But Antetokounmpo had 39 points, and he was 15 of 22 from the floor. I mean, the numbers, the efficiency, 16 rebounds. He had 4 assists. He had a steal mixed in there. And he's the first Bucks player to score at least 35 points and have 15 or more rebounds since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Of course, to be fair, the Bucks haven't had very many good players since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar left, so it's not like there could be a whole host of other players that have been in Milwaukee that have been in the playoffs that would have been able to put up the numbers where they could have destroyed the opposition. But we'll get into it. Now, the question, we'll discuss it this way. The question, as Milwaukee takes a 3-1 lead, which means if you go by the math, there's a 96% chance, 96% chance that Milwaukee is going to win and advance. They're going to take those cheese curds onto the conference finals, as historically only 4% of teams that fall behind 3-1 have been able to come back and win. But does this series, to this particular point, four games in with the Bucks winning the last three, does this series say more about how great the Bucks are with Giannis Antetokounmpo, or does it say more about the shortcomings of the Celtics? Well, the way I look at this, it says more about the problems the Celtics have than anything that Milwaukee's done. It's really a case of the Boston Blues is what it is. Now, you've got Torts, you've got the Mob, and the Clock. You've got those three things, and we'll mix all of this together into a nice, beautiful casserole, and we'll cook it with some butter on top. We'll cook it for about 15 minutes, and we'll see what comes out of the oven together. Now, number one, we start with Kyrie Irving, because this is the story. Like Kyrie, this is his chance to shine, money-making opportunity for Kyrie postseason, a chance to put up mammoth numbers. And while it is technically true that Kyrie led the Celtics with 23 points, that is not wrong. He took 22 shots to get to that 23-point total, and if you saw the game, you know that most of the shots he took, he missed. In fact, he missed 15 of the 22 shots he attempted. He only made one three-point shot. It was bad. It was really bad for Kyrie. And he's the top guy for the Celtics, and he did not perform well. It was a vanishing act, which has continued here. And Kyrie played pretty well in game one. In some areas, game two, bad. Game three, bad. Game four, bad. He has pulled a torts. Now, what does that term mean? Pulling a torts. Sounds dirty, doesn't it? Pulling a torts. No, it's a reference to the great John Tortorella.
I love our balls.
He had the line, you know, sucking at a time you should not suck. That is what Kyrie Irving has done. He has been in many a playoff game over the course of his career. He has never had a three-game stretch as bad, as terrible as he has had here with the Celtics in these last three games. This is the worst he's ever played professional basketball in a playoff environment at a time you cannot get away with missing the amount of shots that Kyrie has missed. How bad has he been? Let's go to the numbers. All right, last three games, Kyrie has taken 62 shots. He's missed 43 of them. 43 of the 62 he's taken, he's missed. He's shooting 31%. LeBron James, who's not even in the playoffs at the barbershop, is shooting a higher percentage than Kyrie in the postseason. It is the most missed shots that Kyrie has ever had in a three-game stretch in his playoff career. And as Kyrie go, so go the Celtics. The C's are like barbecue chicken at this particular point. It's just not good. And here's the other thing. And I know that the general mainstream media likes to celebrate the team that wins and all that, but the better story isn't the losing locker room. And the Celtics have the double whammy. What is the double whammy? Not only are they the team that can't shoot straight, but they're the team that's defense has buckled. So that's the double whammy. It's like one thing, if you're not going to make a lot of shots from the outside, your offense is not going to be that efficient. You might want to, I don't know, jump in front of Giannis Antetokounmpo when he's running towards the basket. Maybe, possibly, right? Maybe get a hand up on one of these guys shooting from the outside. I'm just throwing it out there. Now, secondly, while the stat sheet was overly impressive for Giannis Antetokounmpo, I'd use the word regal to describe his performance. The turning point in this game was not because of some overpowering moment by the Greek Freak. It wasn't. If you saw the game, the turning point in this game, right? You only remember the turning point. We'll forget about it in a couple of days, but right now I remember it because I saw the game and was watching closely. The turning point in this game, with a little over 6 minutes to go in the third quarter, Chris Middleton got in foul trouble. He had four fouls. He went to the bench. They took him out of the game. He had four fouls. He gets to the bench, and who's on the bench? Giannis Antetokounmpo. They're both on the bench, dumb and dumber, right? He was already out. He had his own, four fouls of his own. So you had Antetokounmpo and Middleton, the top two players in the Milwaukee Bucks, both out. So what do the Milwaukee Bucks do at that particular point? Do the Milwaukee Bucks turtle up and allow the Celtics to build on their lead and get a big advantage? No. No, at the time, the Milwaukee Bucks were down by 2 points when Middleton and Antetokounmpo were both on the bench. And the backups, the bench mob, I'm being honest, I hate saying it, I don't think, to me, you should not be in a situation. If you're the Celtics, if your top players play well, it doesn't matter about your bench, right? But in this particular situation, the Milwaukee Bucks bench, George Hill leading the way and the rest of the guys on the bench, down a couple of players who are all-star level players, the Bucks went from down two, they had a 10-point lead. So they had an 8-point lead going into the fourth quarter, and they ended up building on that lead in the fourth quarter, and so Milwaukee ends up winning the game. The margins are thin. Now, I would still rather have the overall better team, but the Celtics, if you're going to call guys out, Marcus Smart, they made a big to-do, ta-da, here's Marcus Smart, 1 of 7. Marcus Smart, all his shots from three-point range, he was 1 of 7. Gordon Hayward, who I'm told was an all-star for the Utah Jazz, took 5 shots. That's it. He missed 4 of them. In 26 minutes, he was outscored by 11 points. Terry Rozier, this was really scary Terry for the Celtics. He sucked at a time you cannot suck. He was terrible in this game. And those guys, in just a brief blink of an eye, with the margins being thin, I know we're splitting hairs here a little bit, that bench portion just did not get the job done. Now, the last thing, the Celtics have some clock issues. When I say they have clock issues, for 24 minutes, they're in pretty good shape. Maybe even for 26 minutes or maybe 28 minutes, they're in pretty good shape. The problem is they have to play 48 minutes. That seems to be the downfall in this series for the Celtics. It wasn't the problem in game one, but ever since then, look at this. The Celtics, they had a 2-point lead at halftime. They were holding Milwaukee to 36% shooting. Middleton had missed a bunch of shots in the first half. The Celtics were feeling pretty good about themselves. But they were playing effective defense. They weren't scoring, though. Even though they had the lead, their offense was still stuck in the mud in the first half. Now, like any good playoff series, we have a deep state conspiracy. And I happened to be on the radio a little earlier tonight. I was on in Boston, and I was on right after the Celtics game. So we talked a lot about that. Well, actually, we didn't. I'm going to lie. That was a lie. We actually talked mostly about Alex Cora not going to the White House and David Price. That's pretty much what we talked about. But I got an email from a guy who's he's a conspiracy guy. So conspiracy guy thinks that Kyrie, the reason he's been so bad here for the Celtics, is an act of sabotage, that he's a saboteur. The theory is, by the conspiracy guy, is that Kyrie does not want to return to Boston. He has already, it's all planned out. He's going to go play for the Knicks or the Clippers or somewhere else. And so he doesn't want the pressure of going back. So he's playing so poorly that no one in Boston will care about him. They will give him a limo ride. They'll pay for an Uber Black to go to Logan to get him on the first flight out of Boston. And they'll roll out the red carpet down the runway to make sure he gets on the plane to leave Boston. Now, I don't buy that, because, like, Kyrie's, he's a very whimsical guy. Not as whimsical as Kevin Durant, but Kyrie strikes me as the kind of guy who just doesn't care. Like, he would leave, and it doesn't matter. He could be scoring 35 points a game and shooting 52% from the floor, and Kyrie would be like, I'm out. I got to go. I'm going to go to another end of the flat earth. I'm out of here. See you later. Goodbye. It is the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We say hello. Actually, before we say hello to Eddie, we have some sound here. Brad Stevens, Boy Wonder, the coach of the Celtics, not doing so well. He's not pulled out the magical combination of cards here. And he points out the difference between winning and losing is blank.
It's win or go home. You do the same thing you've been doing all along. You play the next possession to win it. And that's it.
Good.
You focus on that. It takes a lot of mental fortitude. It takes a lot of mental toughness, and it reveals a lot.
Oh, so if the Celtics do not get it done, they don't have grit. They're lacking in the grit department. Is that what you're saying? I think that's what he's saying, right? They're lacking toughness, backbone, guts, all those fun words we like to throw around. All right, here's more. Let's hear from Kyrie Irving, the man of the hour. He has had the worst 3-game stretch of his professional basketball career. Keep shooting like this, they will not make another Uncle Drew movie. This is very unbecoming of Uncle Drew to miss all these shots. What happened, Kyrie?
miss shots. You know, shots just didn't go in. Go out and prepare. You know, like I said, sometimes they're going to go in, sometimes they aren't. You know, they do a great job of loading, too. So, you know, making the paint look crowded whenever I'm driving or wherever I'm going on the court.
All right, now the other story which I have saved for this is Kyrie made a little bit of an early departure. We call that the Randy Moss. Randy Moss used to do this back in the day. The game he thought was over, he would head to the locker room. He would take off. But there were still about 10 seconds left on the clock. And Kyrie's like, you know what, I'm gonna start heading towards the locker room. Now the crowd is booing and angry. They're upset because the Celtics have played a bad game and they're on the cusp of elimination. They're up against it, and Kyrie is heading to the locker room, and he's, you know, fans at the tunnel there are screaming at him, "Don't leave, Kyrie, we need you." How pathetic is that? Anyway, here's Kyrie asked about what the hell happened. Why you didn't wait 10 seconds? Why'd you hurry up to get to the locker room?
You left the court a few seconds before your teammates, before the game was over. What did you think in those seconds going into the locker room?
The game was over.
Well, can Kyrie get on the public address and tell everyone to leave? The game is over here. Please depart. Drive home safely. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas Solid Gold. Darcy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge watcher of the NBA.
But I hear that about you,
even
Eddie.
Even I do get that same feeling that Kyrie Irving just seems like a guy who, while I think most feel like he's incredibly talented, he doesn't really seem to be all that passionate about his job.
He seems always annoyed. You know, he reminds me of, I'll give you an analogy. This is an outdated reference because it's old and I'm old, but there used to be a baseball player named Kevin Brown who always seemed angry and antagonized. And he was like,
despite being very well compensated,
he was the first $100 million ball player, Kevin Brown, and he always had this irritable thing about him. That I'm sure even now as an old man, Kevin Brown, somewhere in the sticks of Georgia, is still being provoked by something, right? Well, I think the last time we heard a story about Kevin Brown, the old baseball player, was involving like a stakeout of somebody stealing his mail. Remember that story? Do you remember that?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, that's the thing. There were that I recall when I look at Kyrie, I'm like, he's just angry. Yeah, Kevin Brown, this is maybe a year or two ago, Kevin Brown caught somebody trying to steal mail, and he held two people at gunpoint in front of his home.
that seems appropriate.
In Macon, Georgia, yeah. Which is
a grumpy guy would do.
It's Southern justice, you know.
They like to be armed in that area.
Things a little different below the Mason-Dixon line, you know. If you're stealing somebody's mail, that's a federal crime, Eddie, stealing someone's mail.
It's not.
I've had my mail stolen.
I know.
I
do remember that story, yeah.
Yeah. So that was when I told, I didn't tell, I advised my opinion to the wife, because you never tell your wife anything. So I told my wife, we should get a mailbox with a lock on it. So she went and bought a mailbox, but she thought it had a lock. It didn't have a lock. So we had to then get another mailbox. So we were on our third mailbox, and then, now we have one with a lock.
Did you take that other one back, the one that didn't have the lock?
No, we could not return it, unfortunately.
Oh, it was not a Costco mailbox?
No, it was not a Costco, because Costco has that great return policy.
Yeah.
But here's the rule, though. If you go with your wife, make sure your wife doesn't tell the people when they ask why you're returning the product, because my husband says you can return anything at Costco at any time.
Costco's return policy is so great, my dad returned stuff that he didn't even buy at Costco.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's a...
The funniest though, you'll see. I've been at Costco before. I've seen this at one time, maybe twice. I think it was only one time. There was a woman, kind of an older woman, who had a box of Kirkland brand pizza, and she was I guess she was returning some of the pizza. She had eaten some of the pizza, and she was returning the pie.
Well, I saw a famous one. I don't know if it's you know, real or not, but there was someone returning a Christmas tree that after Christmas.
No, you kid. That's
I would think no, but
unless it was with like a plastic tree.
I mean, but people will try anything. I'm
like, oh sure, yeah.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Like Roberto's dad.
Yep.
Pushing the limits.
He doesn't want to lose any money.
Yeah, always trying to. I think that's illegal, but I don't know. I mean, who am I to judge?
It's not illegal if you get away with it.
Yeah, I understand. Exactly. I understand. I understand completely. All right, if you want to be part, the number 877-99 on Fox. So you got Milwaukee this close to getting past the Celtics. You've got the Warriors, who are still going to beat the Rockets, but it's just going to become more painful for the people of Houston, which I like. I liked it, and they get all disturbed and all upset. And they'll blame me, and they'll blame the referees. They'll blame me and all that. It's going to be very difficult for them to win in Oakland. Since James Harden went to the Rockets, they played, I think it's, 11 games now? They're 1-10 in Oakland. So they're going to have to win one game. The math equation works out. They got to win a game, the Rockets, in Oakland. Good luck. Good luck on that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right, let's get to it. Here we go.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
And we bring in the Koopaloop.
Now, this summer is a big year for NBA free agency, but the one guy that no one seems to be talking about is Al Horford. Horford has a player option.
He goes to the Lakers, Cooper.
He's got a player option worth $30.1 million.
Yeah.
Does he exercise that option, Ben?
All right, so the first thing I'll say, Al Horford should try to squeeze more money out of the Celtics. But ultimately, I believe he's going to opt in, not opt out, because the Celtics aren't going to give him any more money. This is a player who had an awakening in Boston. He was pretty good with Atlanta, but he has been a central player for the Celtics on some good Celtic teams over the last handful of years. And secondly, Al Horford, here's the problem, and this is really the rub on Al Horford. He will be 33 years old next season. That's past your prime. It's hard to imagine a team that is wise, a good team, that's going to pay $30 million to an extra $30 million or more past that age. And the teams that have the most salary cap space are bad teams. The Knicks, the Hawks, teams like that, the Mavericks, the Suns. So I say you opt in, you take the $30 million, and then see what you can do after that. Next!
Now, with the downfall of the AAF, there is increased speculation about how the XFL Round 2 will turn out. A lot of analysts seem to think that this is a sign of inevitable failure, but some think that the XFL can succeed provided they have enough money to start with. Ben, with how everything has turned out for the AAF, what advice would you give Vince McMahon?
All right, so here's the thing. A, you get a deal, some kind of partnership with the NFL. The biggest thing the XFL needs is credibility. How do you get credibility with NFL fans? You need to have a path for players to become future NFL players. Some kind of partnership deal where players that perform well in the XFL in February and March end up getting at least a tryout in July with an NFL team and training camp, and then in August and can make a team and play in some regular season games. And B, this has to be unique also. It can't be boring. The AAF was boring. You've got to mix in some innovative, imaginative stuff, which is what the WWE does. That's what Vince McMahon has made a career out of, cutting edge. You excite the fan base. You entertain people. You don't have to do all gimmicks, but you got to have some, because the football's going to suck. That's what you got to do. Next!
A video that made the rounds on the internet this past weekend was Ryan Shazier dancing at his wedding.
Which is important, because he was paralyzed,
Koopaloop. Right.
That's why that's an important story. The guy couldn't walk for a little bit.
Yes, I know. It's an amazing story.
Yeah,
I hope he plays again.
He's never going to play again. I hope he doesn't play again. Because he'll get hurt again. Yeah.
Well. Nah, he wants to play again. Yeah, Ben... Yeah. What song did you have as your first dance as a married man?
Well, as you know, Koopaloop, I don't remember the first dance I had. I was so boozed up. No, I got married. I eloped. I was at the Garden Island of Kauai.
You didn't have a first dance?
No, I mean a dance. I don't remember what it was. We didn't have any. It was me and my wife and there were two other people on the beach.
So?
It was about 5 miles from the Lahui Airport in Kauai. I don't remember.
Was it a hula song? Was it something native to?
No. I don't even remember.
You don't know the song?
I don't know the song.
You fail. You fail this edition.
I don't know. She probably knows. I don't know.
I don't know mine either.
Good.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Now, Maller's Mountain of Money.
Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Do you have what it takes to get to the top? Probably not.
And away we go. It is time now for Maller's Mountain Money, made possible by Discover. Discover alerts you if they find your Social Security on any one of thousands of risky websites. It's free for card members. Just sign up online at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply. Welcome in our contestants. First of all, from the Quickie Mart in Orlando, we say hello to Ivinson. Hello, Ivinson.
Good morning, Big Ben and the Benettes. What's going on, guys?
Good morning to you, Ivinson. Welcome. And how's business? Yes? Good?
Oh, business is pumping up. 7-Eleven. Oh, actually, they're pumping two movies at the same time. The Pikachu movie and some other movie in here. I forgot.
All right. So engaged, you completely forgot. Very good. Hold on a sec, Ivinson. And we have Sleazy Cheese in the great state of Wisconsin. Hello, Sleazy Cheese.
Bucks, 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 bucks.
Be careful. Be very, very careful.
Yeah.
All right, Sleazy. You're not doing pizzas anymore, are you? You still in the pizza game? You're out of that, right?
Well, I bartended tonight, but sometimes I work the oven, sometimes I deliver.
You can't really be a bartender. Don't you drink the profits? I mean, that's a bit of a problem, Sleazy. All right, hold on a second. Ivinson. Is that a low blow? Ivinson, who would you like to partner up with? You can play with me, Ben, Eddie, Roberto, or the Coop de Loop.
Let's try Coop de Loop.
All right, very good. You are with Coop de Loop. Sleazy Cheese, who would you like to partner up with? You can play with me, Ben, Eddie, or Roberto.
All right, give me Easy Eddie Garcia.
All right, that's the matchup. Very good, thank God. I don't have to play.
but you also don't know how to pronounce any of these names.
No, I know how to pronounce these names. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Right. We have Category 1, Category 2, Category 3, and Category 4. It's the Women of Game of Thrones edition, whatever that means. I guess that's a TV show. It's somewhat popular.
I honestly can't pronounce any of them either.
I don't know what the hell they are. We'll just do 1, 2,
Coop
and 3.
Will do it. Coop
categories are Daenerys, Missandei, Arya, and Sansa.
I've heard of Arya. I could do that one. Sansa?
Sansa.
Sansa. Like Santa? Yeah. All right, whatever those are. So, Ivinson, you were on with Koopa Loop. Which category would you like, 1, 2, 3, or 4?
Let's go Arya.
Right, pick the one that you could pronounce. Sleazy Cheese. Which one do you want, Sleazy Cheese?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'll try number 4.
Number 4. All right, I don't know how Jesus is involved in this.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank we'll you, put Jesus! That,
yes, okay, very nice. So we'll put 45 seconds on the clock. Coop's up first with the Aria category. These athletes hit a shot to win a series. So we'll put 45 seconds on the clock. You must give the first and last name, and you're on your way. Go.
Plays for the Trailblazers. He just hit a game winner, like, not too long ago.
Damian Lillard.
Yes. Big Poppy from the Red Sox. Yes. Point guard for the Utah Jazz, all-time assist leader.
John Stockton.
Yes. He's the current manager of the Yankees. He hit a walk-off to send them the World Series against the Red Sox.
Pass.
All right. He hit a walk-off to win the World Series for the Twins.
No, it's for the Blue Jays.
Blue Jays. Yeah, that's right. Blue Jays.
No help.
Thank you. all right. One of the Twin Towers in Houston. He was like 7 foot
Rob Simpson.
4. Hey, yes.
Wow. Right. That was a big one there.
Yeah. No, you didn't get Joe Carter or Aaron Boone. Not a baseball guy, are you, Ivinson? Not a baseball guy.
I'm getting there.
No, you're not.
All right, Sleazy Cheese. These athletes are all redheads.
All right, one.
Let's do it.
140 is the score to beat, right, Roberto?
All right, let's go.
Yes, right, go correct.
Ahead. Go ahead. 45 seconds.
Current quarterback of the Bengals.
Andy
Dalton. Former Clippers star dunker, now with the Pistons. He jumped over a car.
Joe Griffin.
He and Sammy Sosa had a historic home run race. Busted for steroids.
Mark McGwire.
Star at UCLA back in the day. His son, Luke, coached
Bill
the Lakers.
Rose.
Former pitcher for the Phillies and the Blue Jays was killed in a plane crash.
Roy Halladay.
Yes, wow. Old school Washington Redskins quarterback. He's now an announcer with them. He smokes like a cigar up in the booth. Really old school guy.
Billy Kilmer?
No, but that's not that era. Yeah, same era. Okay, former Nets and Celtics center, never really played. He went to USC. He's a broadcaster now.
You did get enough to get the lead. You didn't get Sonny Jurgensen, and you didn't get Brian Scalabrine.
Oh, good job, though. Good job there, Sleazy.
So you got 160.
I'm impressed with
Sleazy. Well, once in a while, you know.
When you're sober, you're good. All right, so Eddie's, you got the lead there, Eddie, by 20, so that means Coop's
up. That was a cheap shot, Ben.
I know, but I love you. Coop's up, and Coop, when you play with me, you are liquored up. Go ahead.
All right, Ivanson, do you want Daenerys or Masande?
Daenerys.
All right.
Yeah, one or two.
These athletes came to rule from overseas. All right?
It's one, I think. Yeah.
45 seconds on the clock. Let's go. The big German.
Doug Nowinski.
Yes. The human highlight reel.
Dominic Wilkins.
Yes. Sounds like Cookie Monster. He waves his finger when he blocks a shot.
Dikembe Mutombo.
Yes. He's from France. He's the center for the Jazz.
Rudy Gobert.
Yes.
Ooh, oh boy.
Pitcher and hitter for the Angels Japan.
No chance. No chance.
Ohtani.
Yes. What? What's his first name?
Fast.
All right. Hitter for the Yankees. Played for some other teams. Nicknamed Godzilla.
Likes porn.
Yes, he does. He loves porn.
Who doesn't?
No, skip.
Right. Does not know his Japanese baseball.
No, does not know baseball, but you got
Shohei Ohtani.
All right, let's go.
You got 100 points. So you got 240. You got to get Shohei. 80 points to win, Eddie. 80 points to win.
All right,
win.
Sleazy, these guys all stayed with one team in their whole careers.
All right, right.
All right.
You got 160. Go ahead, Eddie. 45 seconds. All right. Go.
Hall of Fame Dolphins quarterback never won a ring.
Dan Marino.
Broke the color barrier with the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Brooks Robinson?
No, close.
What?
Pass.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Steelers star safety had the crazy hair, Samoan guy.
Troy Polamalu?
Hall of Fame third baseman for the Royals. He was in the Pine Tar controversy.
Brett.
Yes, what's his first name?
Brett's,
Oh, boy.
Jeez, pass.
Hall of Fame Laker, spent many years as a terrible GM with the Clippers.
Elgin
Baylor. Hall of Fame Astros third baseman. It was a big home run hitter. He looked like he was sitting in a chair when he was at the plate.
Doesn't matter. That Elgin Baylor, you lost. That's 90 points, and you
had try, enough.
Sleazy cheese, you are the champion. You get a golden ticket, sir.
You didn't know who Jackie Robinson was, and you won the game.
That's not good.
My bad.
Or George Brett.
You're a winner, though.
Yeah, you won,
got a murder. Got to go.
I got to go.